And it's 8:36 on this Tuesday, February the 15th. Welcome back to FLX Morning. Paul Small joined by a whole crew here from Finger Lakes Health, starting with Laura Turbine. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Paul.
How are you this morning?
Very well. How are you?
All right. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of specific things in regards to heart health, because this happens to be Heart Health Month, so it's a good time to dive into this. So who do we have on board with us this morning?
Absolutely thrilled to be here this morning, because again, it is February's Heart Month. As when we talk about heart, very often we talk about our chest pain center, our emergency department. We talk about cardiac health and stroke risks and a whole host of things that our experts are here today for. So Dr. Matthew Talbot, who is our Director of Emergency Services, and Dr. Talbot obviously oversees a lot of the stroke work, a lot of the clinical outcomes that we see in our emergency departments at both Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital and at Geneva General, where we've had some nationally recognized and state recognized outcomes from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and others. And also Lauren Stevens, who is a performance improvement analyst and also our stroke coordinator, working very closely with an interdisciplinary team at Finger Lakes Health. So I'm going to let them take it away, not only to learn a little bit about what we're offering for stroke, but of course talking with people about how we ourselves can be advocates and be healthy.
All right, let's start with Dr. Talbot. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
So it's referred to as a chest pain center. What does that entail? What does that cover?
So we try to cast a wide umbrella. So anybody presenting with what we define as signs or symptoms of an acute coronary syndrome. So not just patients that have, you know, the textbook elephant on the chest, but we want to capture atypical symptoms as well. And in doing so, you know, that first basket of patients is well over 100 a month typically.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
It is. Wow. It is. So we'd rather overshoot, you know, make the basket bigger than miss, you know, one of those atypical cases.
So somebody comes in and they're experiencing some kind of chest pain or whatever. It's your job at your location to then kind of decide, okay, where on the medical spectrum does this fall? Is this heart attack? Is this something else? Whatever. And then kind of trickle them into the proper treatment program. Am I correct?
Exactly. So there's, you know, different types of heart attacks. There's the types of heart attacks where we mobilize, you know, mercy flight and air resources and try to get patients, you know, blood flow established back to the heart muscle as quickly as possible. There's other types of heart attacks that don't necessarily need all of those things, but wide spectrum of care that we provide both, you know, usually in the emergency department on our medical telemetry floors, and then, you know, sometimes patients do benefit from transfer to the University of Rochester, which is our you know, comprehensive partner in heart attack care.
And one of the recognitions that Laura was referring to comes on the shoulders of Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital. It's a recognition for, I believe that would be pronounced STEMI.
Yes.
Which is the acronym for the deadliest type of heart attack. So what exactly is that?
So that's a type of heart attack that you can identify on an EKG, which is why we have processes in place to you know, get an EKG done within 10 minutes of arrival. So that's one of the most important things, because a lot of these disease entities, including stroke and heart attack care, are very time dependent. The faster that we can get blood flow reestablished to the brain or to the heart muscle, the better the outcomes. And these are, you know, evidence-based practices, and so we follow the evidence and provide that care.
Heart attack and stroke, are they connected? Do they go hand in hand?
It's similar processes in that, you know, you're talking about vital tissue, you know, end organ processes, we say, so brain and heart, where the timeliness of reestablishing oxygen and blood flow to those tissues certainly impacts outcomes.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Talbot. We have Lauren Stevens here and Laura Turbine, all from Finger Lakes Health, here this morning on FLX Morning. And Laura mentioned that you work primarily with stroke patients and people that are dealing with recovery.
Yep. So my job is really looking at a lot of the data related to the two programs that we have at Finger Lakes Health, and making sure that we're really following the processes and looking for any gaps in processes to improve performance related to that. And then I also coordinate all the different programs that we have related to the programs, including our support group that we have for stroke and cardiac patients, and really looking to boost that and get more people to show up for that. That's on the second Tuesday of every month at our Garnsey Rehab at Geneva General Hospital. It's from 3 to 4 in the afternoons. We have different people that come and speak at that to talk about different topics related to your health. This coming month in March, it'll be related to nutrition and how to best control your diet, different types of things you can do to keep yourself on a healthy track. We have time for social sharing, finding partners in your healthcare journey, that type of stuff. And then we also do some follow-up phone calls with patients to make sure that they're, you know, getting their medication filled, that they're following up with their doctors, that type of stuff, that they're really on track for their best healthcare processes.
And that's a good thing to point out, is it's not just the physical element of suffering any kind of a cardiac event or a stroke, but there's also obviously the mental faculty and the emotional toll that it can take on people, and that needs to be addressed as well as the physical care.
Yep, and not only the people that had the event themselves, but also their families. There's a lot of adjustments in the care that needs to be provided at home in the recovery process from different types of events, you know, changing your diet, their exercise, getting them to and from appointments. There can be a lot of appointments that are associated with follow-up care that you need to juggle your schedules for too.
And I heard both of you mention the word data in some context. That's got to be critical, and I have to think with the improvements in technology, the data and the information that you are able to get and get quickly has really mitigated the process of being able to diagnose and immediately treat some of these issues.
Well, I think the integration of the electronic medical record in the last, you know, 20 to 30 years has assisted us in being able to extract data and ensuring that we're following the evidence for best practices. It allows us to improve. That's the purpose of a performance improvement program, so we can analyze our own successes and opportunities. But I think what you were speaking to earlier is that the American Heart Association, with what's called Mission Lifeline, you know, is involved in these disease-specific type care programs. Both Geneva General Hospital and Soldiers and Sailors Hospital were really one of the only regional centers to receive an award for 2019, and then Soldiers and Sailors Hospital was the only regional center to receive two consecutive awards for 2019 and 2020.
No, that's a testament to the whole staff that works at those locations. It struck me when you said that your goal, if you have somebody coming into the chest pain center that is experiencing a cardiac event, your goal is to have an EKG within 10 minutes?
Absolutely, and that's... that's really a collaboration between our patient care techs, our nurses, our greeters, education and identifying, as we talked about earlier, not just the elephant on the chest, but very, you know, atypical symptoms as well, because certainly, and as we're talking about cardiovascular health, we know that there are gender discrepancies, and certainly women more than men sometimes have these atypical symptoms that we really push to identify.
So is that EKG almost like the first line of defense?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We have to get that EKG, and then we kind of move from there.
And I think people don't recognize as well that even for things like stroke symptoms, it's that door to CT time. And with a regional stroke center like we have, the ability to be small enough. I always say we're small enough that we can kind of move mountains and collaborate really well with one another. So we also have very short times from door to CT if we're questioning whether it might be a stroke at play. And these are, when we speak about how does data make the difference, we have the ability to compare ourselves, not only to ourselves and our past performance, as Dr. Talbot said, but the ability to compare ourselves across the region and the country, hence this recognition at the national level. And I think people often maybe rule out the fact that a small place might be as exceptional in terms of quality as we are, but because we do have these interdisciplinary teams that can work so closely together and truly work through these system processes with these nuances to get better at things, I always want to emphasize what good hands people are in our regional, local, rural communities.
Now, I've heard the term stroke. I've heard the term TIA. I think a lot of people get confused by which is what. Are they both the same thing? Is one less of a degree of the other? Can we kind of give people a one-on-one on that?
Sure. So very similar you know, without getting too much into the weeds, what we call pathophysiology. And so the reasons that somebody would have a TIA, or what's commonly referred to in the community as a mini stroke, are very much the same reasons as somebody would have a larger stroke. Typically, somebody with a mini stroke, you know, their symptoms resolve much quicker without really any medical or endovascular interventions. But the most important part of a TIA or mini stroke is that by having one, you significantly increase your risk of having a larger stroke. And so it's very important that we identify that, and then we modify those risk factors going forward.
And that's, I'm sure, part of the care program, Lauren, is that you're not only talking about preventative measures, but also the measures that you need to take post one of these events to avoid a bigger event, whether it be a cardiac event or a stroke.
Right. Obviously, definitely following up with your providers to make sure you're on the right medications, that you're taking those medications as prescribed. You're not skipping out on medications because you can't afford them. If there's problems with getting your medications, there's always programs out there that can help you get medications at reduced prices. Kind of a soapbox thing for me is the 211 national helpline that can help you to get programs in place for different needs. I know it's not related to Finger Lakes Health specifically, but that's a underused resource in the community. You can call that. They can help you line up assistance and different programs that you might need. And I think that's a lot of times I see that when I'm reviewing patients' records, that they've not been medically compliant. They haven't gone to their doctor's visits. They can't get out of their house. 211 can get you rides to places, and then they can't afford their medications. So advocating for yourself and saying, you know what, this one's really expensive. Is there another option for me? Those things are very important. And the other thing I can't stress enough is making sure that you don't brush off a symptom. So if you wake up and you're feeling kind of dizzy, your arm's numb, something's going on, you feel like you might be having some chest pain, it doesn't seem normal to you, getting yourself to the right place quickly is very important. Calling 911 and having somebody come check you out and get you to the hospital is extremely important, especially if you're having any of those symptoms. You don't want to be driving yourself there and have something worse happen, and then you're putting somebody else at risk on your way to the hospital, because the ambulance providers can actually start diagnosing you and calling you, calling the hospital and getting the right pieces in place before you even get to the services.
Yeah, because they're really the advance guard to give you all the information, you all the information that you need. So when the patient arrives, you've got a course of action that's already laid out in place. And I think one of the big takeaways that people need to understand too is if you have a minor event, that's actually a tell that perhaps a major event is could be coming down the road. Absolutely. And that you need to do something.
Absolutely. An incredible point. You know, in stroke care, we use the BFAST, which is balance, you know, eyes, you know, facial drooping, you know, you know, the arm weakness, you know, speech. And then the T is time, you know, the T is the most important thing. So we can provide those therapies that are effective.
All right. Thank you so much. Is there anything else we want to cover, locations, addresses, anything of that nature that would be important to people?
I think most, as Lauren said, most importantly, obviously, use 911 if you have any questions. We are a stroke center at Geneva General Hospital, so you'd be taken to the closest stroke center, hopefully, at Geneva. And obviously, always a shout out to our teams at both these places who've worked so hard to care for our community.
Yeah, and that's both Geneva General and Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital. All right, Liz, thank you very much, Matt and Lauren. Much appreciated. Lauren, good to see you as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Good information as always.